Welcome to Big Brother, where we are gonna talk this latest episode. And it starts off with a sob fest for Kimo.
It was crazy. Like, I like the confirmation of Kimo is the first person in Big Brother history to change someone's mind mid convo, because usually, like, it's been a staple of every season, for every year, for every time, but it's never really been like, hey, everybody knows what you're going to do. So I'm just going to say thank you to my brother for taking care of my dog. And like, I'd really like you to keep me in here. Yeah, I won't forgive you. I won't forget if you save me. But Kimo, I think it's interesting. Kimo was like, I represent more than you think I do. There's only a few people. I think the one layer about this that's interesting is like Mackenzie talks about how much she loves her brother, and Mackenzie's brother is gay as well. So maybe that's a layer of like, maybe I see my brother in Kimo somewhat. So it's like, that's the person who flips, who maybe didn't. And I know Chelsea, I don't know if she was a flip in that moment. No. So it was weird of like, did they flip because of that? Or because I think he's getting credit for Mackenzie's. I don't know if he's getting credit for Chelsea's as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know who gets to decide that either. Maybe all these people when they get done talking about it in a month and a half from now. Because apparently we still have 20 episodes left or something. I was like, oh my God, 15 at least.
On Big Brother. Then we have a different sobfest of Leah and Quinn crying over Joseph. And Quinn crying that he's had two final twos and they both left on his HOH. But my big question is, why did he nominate them in the first place? But
I mean, I guess Quinn has seven final twos, so it's like it's impossible to nominate someone that he hasn't made a final two with. Because if Angela had gone home without the veto, like, it would have been another final two. I know he probably wouldn't have been like, I lost the final two, but he'd probably joke about it the other way. So It's a very interesting layer for Quinn, because he was sobbing about Joseph going. And you're like,
didn't he just make that final two?
And I don't understand, like, who told you you cannot put up a Tucker voter? Like, who made that? Like, you've watched Big Brother. I think some of your favorite contestants of all time have immediately backstabbed someone, like, afterwards. Like, some would do it in the same week. They wouldn't even, like, why are you getting, if you voted Tucker out, I need to have your back moving forward. Is like, all of those people are closer to everyone else. And this is going to domino into Quinn. Just good luck, Quinn. Like, fingers crossed, buddy. But he can't win HOH this week. And we go to the HOH because the HOH was pretty funny. I think that these are the ones that I'm like, okay, this would be, I don't think I would get a perfect score on it, but I'm not going to lose that tiebreaker. Like, the two of the three people, no, there was four people in tiebreaker. At least two of the three, four people in the tiebreaker had no idea what math was. And it was just like, I get that you're like in the moment. It's not even live TV though. Like, how did you mess up the math that badly? But I don't think I would have gotten perfect score unless I was like with somebody who was studying well. And there was some, I remember seeing something on Thursday where it was like, only three of them really knew everything. And it was like, were you studying with the right person or not?
Yeah.
And that was Chelsea. And good for Chelsea to win. Mm-hmm. This episode became the Chelsea show because yes. It was like, she's important.
That HOH comp. And then basically it was Chelsea sus of Leah. And she kind of like talks to a bunch of people in the HOH room. She talks to Angela, she talks to this person, she talks to Cam, and like, it's all about her relationships within the house.
And I thought that was such a weird segment that I don't think we've seen before, is like, let me talk to you and tell you how badly this player is playing, of like like, Angela, we are literally driving the bus over for this episode of she's going to talk to Cam. And Cam, can you put a good word in for me with Chelsea? And like, meanwhile, it's getting narrated because I don't know if you can, if there's a camera over there where you can see that from the HOH room. But it was kind of like, why is Angela not coming up to me yet? Like, what is she doing? Why is she waiting? And she's like, Cam will put a good word in for me. Then Cam goes into the room and just lays on the couch and says nothing. Mm-hmm. And Angela opens up that door and is like, oh, Cam's not doing anything for me. This is awful. And it's just like
pacing all around in that room.
And it's like, well, do you want to do the work to keep you here? Or like, I don't think relying on somebody else to keep you in the game is going to work past the first three rounds of this game. Like, that's not how it's worked for a while now. So I don't know why. Like, maybe Angela knows talking to Chelsea is just not going to be truthful either. Because I really did enjoy watching their one-on-one conversation where, like Angela is coming at it from the only way she can of, like, it's not really fair that I get nominated this much. And it's like, but that's not how Big Brother works, especially when the person who has the power probably knows how Big Brother works better than anybody else.
Right.
And, like, oh, it's not really fair. I've been up, like, 4 or 5 times, and, like, I bet it took Chelsea everything to say, like, do you know why you've been up 4 to 5 times? Like, you're so bad at everything. You've gotten in fights with everyone. Yes,
and blow up every alliance you're part of.
Yeah, you've gotten saved twice by people and then turned on them immediately. And like, no, I don't want to be part of that. I would like you to go home eventually, because if I am a player that's playing by Big Brother rules, I need it to be unchaotic. Like, the less chaos that happens moving forward, the more chances Chelsea has to win the game. So I think it does make sense for her to put Angela up. But Angela, like, I thought it was so funny of the thought process of, like, there's other people you can nominate. Like, she was like, no, it's very slim pickings for me to nominate. And she's like, no, there's 7 other people. And like, so they're half right of, like, you just need to tell me the actual answer, Chelsea, and I'll go downstairs and eat cheese and cry. But, like, until you do that, I'm going to act incredulous, which I think is terrifying to have as a roommate or person in a game that you have to rely on.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like what is Chelsea's exact target? Is it Angela? Because it feels like she's like, oh, Angela, you're not going home. Also, oh, Chemo, you're not going home. So is there going to be a backdoor? Is Angela?
Are we going spoilers already? Or
not yet. Another thing we have to cover is the bird poop incident.
That was crazy. Like,
and then she wipes it. The bird poops on T-Core, and then she, like, wipes it on Chemo and runs into the kitchen to wash off. And then Chemo's like, "Why did you wipe it on me?"
Yeah, if you were gonna go wash your arm anyway, why, like? A bird has pooped on my arm before, and it is a very weird sensation of, like, I do not like this. I was just had my car outside of a window driving in Austin, Texas, and it was gross and warm, and you're just like, it was like get the Whataburger napkin that was nearby to, like, basically try your best. But I think that's something where, like, some people have called attention to this recently too, of like T-Core is like 12 years younger than Rubina, and like same probably, like, I think Chemo's in his early 30s, so it's like T-Core is 24. Like, this is probably the most immature thing she's done of, like, like, when you realize, like, oh yeah, she is that young, she probably would do that. Like, if you're 34 and doing this, people be like, what is your problem?
Like, yeah.
Not that that's an excuse. It's just more of like that. Oh, that makes sense when you, like, yeah T-Core is way younger than she come. Like, she's so well spoken and she's so, like, even keeled that this was interesting to see her be like, I guess the limit for me is bird poop. So if there's a bird poop challenge, I'm toast.
One of my favorite conversations, though, this episode is Angela talking to Kimo that she voted for him. And it's like, we just saw the inverse of this before with Kimo voting for Angela. So, like, they should be on just, like, level playing ground at this point. But Angela's like, no, I have to save face with Kimo. And Kimo's like, why?
And I didn't like the thought process of Kimo is done with Angela. Mm-hmm. Like Angela's corners to hide in are disappearing very quickly. Mm-hmm. But then she has a chance because at the end of the episode, it's like the nominations, she doesn't need Kimo's vote. And you're just like, oh my God, like, is this the one way she could survive? Is to like, I that's what I love about Big Brother is when we get to Final Nine and on, it does become like, I can nominate this person against an exact number and they lose. Like, the vote that would have kept them there is right there. And then because there's 3 and 3, I'm going to break a 3-3 tie. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're in Final Nine, I just try so hard for the 9 and the 7 HOH, not the 5, but. Everything else is gravy, baby. Mm.
I think that's pretty much like all of the important conversations.
Just did you like having Lisa come back for the?
It was so. It was so weird having just like one person there, and then a few were just mentioned. Is Lisa in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was something where somebody's like, oh, she's guaranteed for Big Brother second chances. I was like, no, she's the one who could drive there less than an hour.
Yeah. Well, I liked the concept of the before and after with like the ding camera, and you could use like these things like, oh, pizza with sweet Kenny K sausage or young Cedric instead of young Sheldon. And you know, have Lisa come in and be like, let me back in, guys. A noisy neighbor to make it feel like a house. Like, I liked this kind of cheesy element to Big Brother, where it's like they are almost in a house, but we all know they're in a studio.
Did we say something about Ainsley at all this one too? Or was this our first competition where it wasn't like,
I feel like it was without
Ainsley needs to worry about neighbors now.
Yeah. I don't think we heard Ainsley for this.
No. Amazon Swine is a throwback to season 22, which are like, whatever. And I did like that somebody figured that was out
a punishment or something, right?
Yeah. And he couldn't eat, so he had to get the vegan one.
Yeah.
Poor Fessy. Never. That was the only time in my life it was poor Fessy, because we didn't know. Know his track record yet of how bad he was going to be at an HOH. I think I would love to see a one like that every year. Like, that's a good new, it's fun for the people too, because I feel like they didn't get to watch TV for 2 months, and like, like,
it's they better could be than like, just audio clips in the house and stuff like that,
and they could probably like pretend to be the Porch Pirates or something. Like it's less boredom for them. So I don't know why I'm getting such a bleeding heart for them right now, but it is like, okay, cool.
Also, I like the steps, the before and after steps, instead of just the rotating boxes. I thought that was like a better way to.
And that's old school shit. So I'm glad that's back. And like, it's another equitable comp, because everybody can do that or whatever.
But what about the people with short-term memory loss or long-term memory loss?
That is me. Yeah, I would be. I would sue Big Brother after my final 10 loss, or final 9 loss. So we get the nominations.
Kimo.
Chelsea talks to Kimo and says, can I use you as a pawn? And this sentence that Kimo's about to say is crazy to me. He goes, the only person I would do this for is you, because everyone else, it would make no sense. And I'm like, what is in your head, or what is the game Chelsea is playing where you believe this makes sense? Because we didn't have the conversation. We didn't have the confessional afterwards of like, Kimo is actually going to hate Chelsea move forward, and I'm going to go after her because I don't appreciate getting punted as a pawn. It's stupid at final nine. He doesn't say any of that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's something nobody wants to do, but like, I was up last week, so it's just the easy thing. And I'm like, what, Kimo? Like, focus, bro. Like, be like, no, yeah. I just went last time. Like, I'd really appreciate you not to do this. Like, I'm not trying to throw anybody else under the bus, but there's a lot more people that, like, I barely survived because McKenzie thought differently for a second. Like, I don't want to go through that again. There's at least four other people in the house that would stay over Angela way, way harder than me. I can name them for you if you want me to, but I'm not going to say I'm throwing them under the bus. I'm going to say these are the people I think are playing a better game than me that would stay over Angela. We got none of that. And he was like, okay, which I get on a Friday. Somebody wins an HOH Thursday and they're going to nominate less than 24 hours later. Maybe you don't have all that info to do that with.
Mm.
But Kimo versus Angela.
Spoilers? Are we going to go to spoilers right now?
Sure. Ready? You're walking across to push pause.
And go.
Okay. So it's Otev, a thrilling Otev. And what's crazy about this, I don't know how they're going to, I'm sure it's going to be comedic, but Otev is a challenge that is every year, probably takes 35 minutes of airtime of that episode of like, they get a funny voice. I think Gilbert Godfrey was the voice once.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, bring back the thing about Tucker or whatever. So McKenzie wins, and it only takes the first time through because everyone else brought back the wrong answer. And that's something that I didn't even think was possible. I don't think anybody thought was possible in the fan community of like, if you bring back a wrong answer, you lose. Because we've only seen right answers, and it's whoever gets last place.
Right.
So nobody's even gotten a wrong answer before.
I didn't know that that was like a, you get a wrong answer and you're completely out. I just thought it was a like, okay, so you two are now the two wrong answers. Go first one to find, you know. Tucker's.
I would have swore we saw that last, like one of these last five times or something, but I don't know. And it is, I'm wondering if there's going to be like, I don't even think people know you can throw it that way. So I don't think it's going to be a throw unless there was like, we never see them. We see the person reading the thing of like, hey, here's how it's going to work. But they have chances to ask producers about everything. So I don't know if there was one where it was like, and if you bring back the wrong answer, you'll get eliminated. And then like, why are you throwing vetoes at this point too? But McKenzie wins.
McKenzie wins.
And McKenzie is very excited about winning because McKenzie thinks that she can probably beat Angela later down the road. So the whole last day and a half has been McKenzie and Chelsea talking about, is she going to use the veto or not? And I think literally right now, McKenzie is about to use the veto on Angela, saving her for a third time. And then it's coming down to who got to talk to Chelsea the last. But Chelsea, I think, is nominating Quinn to evict him in ninth place. Look at your face. Literal dumpster. Fire play from Quinn finally catches up of Quinn versus Kimo. Now we have the thought process of who has your back, T-Core and Rubina or not? Well, against Kimo. Kimo. And like, I think there was a layer of, is Leah going up?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
And like, but I think McKenzie and Leah, like, it was maybe just a Leah's getting close to Cam, but we saw Cam be like, I am not close to her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that? Like, I will not keep those people over you. I don't care how good of a game you're playing better than them. Like, you are my per-. Like, so I think that got drilled in a little more, and like, maybe, and like I'm
using these relationships. Let me use these relationships for our benefit, kind of thing.
Right. And so the last thing that was maybe going to mess up Quinn going up was Chelsea was saying to him, like, here's what's going on. And like, Leah's up until 3 a.m. trying to get me to put you up. And I don't know if that's like damage control or what, but it does feel like it'll be Quinn versus Chemo. And of course, because we always go perfectly live right while it's happening, we won't know for another 27 minutes maybe. But I think it'll be Quinn versus Chemo. And then if we count our 6 votes, T-Core would keep Chemo.
Mm-hmm.
Rubina would keep Chemo, because Rubina keeps getting nominated by Quinn. Angela sure votes out Quinn. So now it's, does anyone else want to? Mackenzie is using the veto on him. So there's 4. I think we just saw Leah keep Joseph over Chemo. So there's that one. And what does Cam do?
Whatever Cam, Chelsea wants.
So it's going to be a slam dunk. Like, Chemo's sticking around. Quinn's toast. Unless Chelsea changes her mind last minute. And I think if she does change her mind last minute, she'll put up Leah. And then that's an interesting, like, that's right down the middle.
That would be, we still have Rubina and T-Core keeping Chemo.
Right.
We have Quinn keeping Leah and Mackenzie keeping Leah.
Unless Quinn just heard how much she was throwing him under the bus. So there's that layer.
But with the Quinn HOH conversation, she could do no wrong. Like, it doesn't matter what happens. I'll never do anything for you. Like, you're clearly manipulating us.
Does Angela go after her? What's her face? Leah. Of, hey, I am going to just get you out of here anyway, even though you've saved me. Because that was another funny thing, was Mackenzie was kind of like, if I save Angela with Vito, she'll be in debt to me and won't vote me out. It's like, well, that didn't work against Tucker. And like, Angela already had, like, I think that was the funniest like feed clip we saw, was like, there's some kind of weird info coming from Angela that doesn't really make sense. And Chemo was like, oh, it must be Sunday then, because that happens every week right around this time. And they were like, you know what? You're kind of right. Like after the veto is decided and it's time to almost nominate someone, there's always some brand new information and Angela's like flipping back or something. So like, they're starting to figure out her pattern in the house. And like, some people are being like, Angela could be the best floaters of all time if she's getting saved 3 separate times by 3 different people, that like, I want to keep this person in the game. Like, that's just like a brand new strategy.
She's not even fully aligned with anybody. So it's just crazy. And like, I started off this season hating Angela, and I still don't like her. Like, on my screen, it's really annoying, but like, the fact that she can just keep blowing up this game is hilarious. And if she winds up in at finale night, that's also, you know, how, because she was target, not
you're gonna have to root for her. Like, if she makes it to final 3 and she's playing in some final HOH, I'm gonna be rooting for her.
Chelsea mentioned like who had to fight the entire time and won, Taylor. So like, is that foreshadowing? I know it's all live, but that foreshadowing the Angela win?
Dude, we're gonna forget about Taylor and just call it that, the Angela strategy, if it does happen. Poor Taylor.
It's like Taylor meets Josh and you get Angela.
Oh no. Which those are both winners. Like, it's time for 50-year-old women. A married mother has never won this game, and little do we know, it wasn't our friend Brooklyn, it was our friend Angela. Yeah. the other thing that I was like, damn, that actually sucks, was like, I don't know if it was from the house or from a Reddit post, but it was like, nothing changed with Joseph leaving. Like, it's all the same dynamic. And it was basically just like the get out of jail free card of like, just get him out. Like, yes, Kimo almost went. It was sad for like two people, but like Joseph, it wasn't isolating himself completely, but like these same people are talking in the same groups as they did last week with all the same stuff. It was just Quinn thought that like Kimo would stick around against Joseph and just blew it.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's his time to stick around. I think I'll stick around against Kimo and just blow it. But and before we leave, we might as well check Big Brother Wikipedia to see if it's there. Do we have a replacement yet? But are you pumped for the end game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who wins, but also Chelsea, your first boot, is just continuing to rise.
I'm getting owned by that, dude.
Yeah.
Chelsea's kicking my ass. But I got, I don't know. We can go look back some. Like, as long as Rubina wins the whole thing, I think I'm fine. Beads are back. We don't know who the renom is. It's literally just came back a minute ago.
Mm.
So time to go. Refresh, refresh, refresh.
Yes. All right. Well,
Quinn got put up.
Quinn got put up.
Let's go.
Any more episodes that I won't have to hear,
seriously,
I will be so happy. Goodbye, Quinn.
Okay. Let's see.
Like, well, we can all rest easy until Wednesday, well, Thursday, because Wednesday we'll see Quinn get put up, but we can all rest easy.
It is kind of like, is it or not? But there's a couple people that right now Quinn is arguing with Leah. So it's probably juicy. Don't do your work. What? Just go watch the feeds. Right, go watch the
feeds.
Okay.
All right. See you on Thursday.
Angela's in top eight. She made it to the second half.